the sneeze is very interesting. It's an involuntary expulsion of air from the lungs through the nose and mouth, usually caused by foreign particles irritating the nasal mucosa. As intriguing as that sounds, it usually triggers a positive statement by somebody else, doesn't it? If you were to sneeze in Spain, for instance, you might expect to hear someone say "salut" or "to your health." A sneezer in Germany can expect to hear "Gesundheit" or simply "good health." The history of it is nothing to sneeze at, because they used to be quite worried about a sneeze. One legend has it that people thought that when you sneezed, the heart stopped beating. So wishing someone good health when they sneezed seemed very appropriate to them. In the year 590 AD, as the bubonic plague spread through Europe and reached Rome, Pope Gregory I ordered unending prayer. The people of his day were so horrified about the spread of bubonic plague through sneezing, among other things, that the words "God bless you" rang through the streets in an effort to halt the disease. Times have changed a lot since then. We're not afraid of the plague anymore. But it's interesting that after 1,400 years, we still use the same words today when we hear a sneeze. "God bless you." It's hard to think of three kinder words that you could tell someone. And what's really nice is that we have complete freedom to say these words to anybody at any time, not just when they sneeze. Last summer, for instance, my son Matthew went to Africa on a mission helper trip. And as he was leaving, I guess I could have said, "Hey, have a good time." But because of considering where he was going and what he was going to do and for how long he was going to do it, it seemed more fitting to say, "God bless you" on your trip. I know this girl named Julie. A couple of weeks ago, her mother fell really badly in the garage on the floor and hit her head on the concrete. And she's been in a coma ever since. A couple days ago, they took her off life support, so it's just a matter of time. And I called her up again last night. And I could have said, "Julie, hey, good luck with that," but saying "God bless you" was much more meaningful to her, I think. No matter who we are, we all need assurance of God's blessings from time to time. We get it at the end of church service every week. We get it here every chapel when it's Prof. Udi's turn. We need to hear those words: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." The Lord blesses us with His presence and protection. He blesses us with His grace, with His love, and with His peace. It was 100 years ago this year when the Titanic left England on her maiden voyage and made it 3/4 of the way to New York City before crunching into an iceberg. And less than 3 hours later, the Titanic was totally submerged. And since it happened at midnight, rescue attempts from other ships were slow, and 2/3 of the passengers died. Among those who died that night was a fellow by the name of Isidore Strauss. Now, he could have easily survived, being the extremely wealthy owner of Macy's department store. You know, he would have been given preference on a lifeboat. But he refused to get on a lifeboat if there were women and children still on the ship. He urged his wife, Ida, to get on a lifeboat. But after 41 years of marriage, she was determined to stay with him through whatever. "Wherever you go, I go," she said. She gave her fur coat to a person getting on a lifeboat and said, "Here, you take it. I'm not going to be needing this." It's a compelling story of human sacrifice. These two died so that two others might have a spot on a lifeboat and be saved. And even though 1,500 people died that night in the ocean, a story like this can serve as perhaps a small reminder of the larger sacrifice that Jesus made for not just two people, but for everybody. And who knows, maybe Jesus' sacrifice inspired these two to think of the welfare of others before themselves. That's exactly what Jesus did. He thought of others. He endured the toughest suffering known by anyone. He was subjected to denial and betrayal and trumped up charges in an illegal court. He was scourged, slapped, spit upon, ridiculed, and nailed to a cross. The worst was when his father left him alone to suffer alone. And why? Because we were lost, hopelessly lost. We have no hope. We would have no hope were it not for the blessings that we get from our loving Savior. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, faith, peace, and others. We would be utterly lost without these free gifts paid in full by our Good Shepherd. Another important blessing He gives us are the tools for avoiding temptation. It's true that we know we're saved already, yet the world is full of dangers for us. Icebergs in the sea, if you will, waiting for us to collide with them. Satan would like nothing better than to cause another crash and to claim more victims like you. So here are five tips to avoid temptation today. Number one, recognize your tendency towards sin. Like James writes, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Number two, flee temptation. The world's moral compass is way out of whack. From a moral standpoint, the world is driving in reverse while texting. And if you see a situation that's way out of control and you know it's wrong, don't be a part of it. God actually says, turn and run the other way. Number three, resist with the Word of God, like Jesus did. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Tip number four to resist temptation is to repent quickly when you fail. Not if you fail, but when you fail. And then finally, number five, focus on Jesus, not on you. Read a psalm, especially a psalm of praise, and you'll find strength there. And you'll be better equipped to handle anything. No matter who we are, we all need assurance of God's blessings from time to time. We can reflect Jesus to those around us. We can be like a light in the darkness so that others can avoid life's icebergs. And we have the liberty to express God's blessings to anyone every chance we get. So to that end, I say to you, God bless you. And we sing about this with the words on the screen.